I better not say no incriminating.
Talk how you want.
Shit, what were we saying? We were saying that women goalpost move, right? So if I'm always chasing your dragon, if I'm always wondering, am I doing a good job? Am I not doing a good job? Is she mad? Is she happy? Is she satisfied? Is she not satisfied? I'll never know, but I'll keep trying.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I've done a good job. You're enjoying the fruits of me doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm off balance. And I'll keep trying. And if I stop trying, then you'll act like I haven't been doing a good job the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to keep trying again. That fucking sucks.
So what? Why is there... This is the thing about relationships, too. Why is there a stopping point of trying? Like, when you get in a relationship, you stop trying? When you get married, you stop trying?
There is, for guys who feel like it's an endless battle, right? Because some people are trapped. They don't actually... Like, let's say I pull out a chess piece, right? A chess game. And I know I've rigged the game so you can't actually win.
Yeah.
But you're going to keep trying to win.
But shouldn't you?
Not if you figure out that the game is rigged and like if you can't, then the merit of the game is bullshit. It doesn't matter now, right? If you knew from the jump that this game you could not win at all, no matter what you do, you will not win based on rules that I have set. Are you a fucking player or not?
It depends on how interested you are in the game.
Fuck that, man. If I tell you,
it's all probability.
If you play a game with me right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You having a game and you haven't won. Let's say it's Uno. Chess is not hard to fabricate. Uno, and I got some cards over here and shit. I'm cheating like a motherfucker. You're gonna keep playing to win, right? You might try 100 times beat me. You get beat 100 times. You gonna go and.
But what happens when the opponent is playing back? So for instance, like you're trying. The only reason is the reason why men feel like that because women don't try
it. Because I'm in control of the game. I read the game.
That's the issue. Keyword control.
You know what I'm saying?
You can't control
people. And most times when a man is vying for a woman's approval or her appreciation or her love or whatever the fuck, right? That's what niggas are doing in relationships. They're vying for your approval. Because they want to unlock the best parts of your care, right? Mm-hmm. Men want to feel like we have attained your undying affection and love for us.
Mm-hmm.
That you could be in China going, hey, that's my nigga at home, mm-hmm. right? But if you under-communicate on purpose, you've now created the game of... Am I or am I not?
So it's either we're going to be adults and be real, or we're going to be children.
But most people niggas out here are not, because society has shown women that it's better to keep niggas off balance, keep them trying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep them trying.
But is it because, now I can speak from experience, is it because after so long of comfortability, and this goes both ways, but I'm going to just talk about what we're talking about, men get too comfortable?
Remember that word because. It's horseshit. It's not real.
I feel like in my experience, men have gotten too comfortable. Like, the moment that you make them feel like they're really doing what they're supposed to do, they don't do no more than what they've done.
If you feel like a man's too comfortable,
they stop.
It is a whole lot more simpler to say, you can even keep gangster if you want to. Hey, my nigga, I feel like you started to sandbag because you're comfortable.
That's how I communicate though.
But everybody ain't doing it. Most women don't.
Yeah.
They just hope that he'll figure it out by stopping something, fucking them, treating them good, whatever the fuck, right? So by me stopping this action, he'll figure out that I feel like he's too comfortable. Now the guy is stuck trying to figure out
what's
going on.
Yeah. But I do think that some women. I'm the type of woman that don't give a fuck. I mean, for real, I'm gonna just keep it real. I am a type of woman that if what I say to you is too strong and you can't handle it as a grown man, then you ain't really for me anyway, right?
Does it go both ways?
It does. It does. It, a lot of things that goes man versus women, it goes both ways.
It does, but not in real life. Because as soon as a man clearly articulates a problem that he has with his spouse, they hold up. You can't say that to me. You're attacking my character.
Well, because my next point was this. Women and men, it's never just, I know a lot of people like to say men or women, it's both.
Of course it is.
But like, fuck. We're talking about the woman versus man right now. So men or women, typically may not speak up. And I've actually done that before. To stop from turning you off, pushing you away. And the reason why I say that, because from my experience, when I am blunt with somebody, with a man, they like, oh, she too aggressive. What you mean?
My thing is.
And then if I'm not blunt, then it's like, oh, she not being honest with me.
How you want to figure out that you're blunt or that your man feels like you're an asshole? You want to find out after you are blunt to him and you ask him to his face, hey, my nigga, do you feel like I'm too blunt to you? Yes or no?
I could.
That's it. Or do you want to figure out that he felt like you were too blunt at the end of the year? You go through his phone, figure out you've been fucking a bitch for 2 months.
Well, this is the reality. The conversations that you're talking about should have been had prior to the relationship. A lot of people, and I cannot stand this, and this is why I take my time with getting into a relationship now, because prior to a relationship, everything that you're talking about should have been discussed prior. But not enough people are taking time, spending time, and having a conversation. They more focused on the other things that don't really matter once you get into a relationship.
I mean, but relationships are like anything, any machine, right? Like, I bought a car new, it was fine. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it ain't gonna fucking break down in 2 months, or a gasket might blow, or any problem might arise. I gotta get it fixed.
But a simple thing, like, if I'm blunt with you, like, for instance, and me and a man are friends, right? We kicking it, we chilling, we good. And in our friendship, you're gonna realize I'm a blunt person.
Yeah, I mean, some people are just obtuse on purpose. Like, you obviously a blunt person.
Yeah.
So if you get with somebody and you say, hey, I'm blunt, and it's okay, that's cool. And you're blunt with them in a year of being together, and they act like you are too aggressive. That's whole fuck shit. Like, they knew you were blunt regardless.
Right.
I mean.
But, like, that goes back to what I say.
Or they could have lied and said that I'm cool with you being blunt because you fine. They want to fuck you. Whatever.
Then why do I want to be with you in the first place? You a liar.
Or
don't communicate openly.
Maybe they was cool with you being blunt, or maybe not as blunt.
Or
your bluntness got a bit more blunt as time got on. Right?
Maybe. Because the man is not doing his part. And I've said it in a less blunt way before.
Right.
And now I got to repeat myself 3 more times. So now I got to get even more blunt. Because he ain't listened the first 2 times.
I mean, I'm with that. But I think about people all the time. Communicate as if the person is going to say, fuck you, and walk away.
And if they do, and what?
Most people don't want to do that shit.
I know.
Men are trained not to communicate that way because they don't want to lose the pussy. They don't want to lose whatever. But at 31 years old now, I'm too old. I will take a wheelbarrow, pick up my nuts, and put it in the wheelbarrow and say, look, this is not you being an asshole. What's the problem? Because most men don't want to ask that question because they don't want to. They don't want to know if they've done something or missed something that is giving you the stimuli to choose to act this way.
Right. People don't like to be wrong.
So
I think that's the biggest
relationship. By trying to hold you accountable, I got to hold myself accountable also. It's never one way.
Right.
It's never one way at all.
Yeah, it's a two-way street.
So, most people say, well, fuck it. I know I've been an asshole to her. So, she's stopped being intimate with me. So, I can't say, hey, you ain't been intimate with me no more. Because I know I've been an asshole to you.
Well, let's back up to her stop being intimate with you because you've been an asshole. There should have been a conversation prior to the lack of intimacy. So that we don't get to the lack of intimacy. Now, if you continue to be an asshole, the result is on you. Because you knew. That's why I say it is big. Communication is key. Open, healthy communication is key. Like, people don't hear arguing and yelling as healthy communication. People don't hear it. Like, if I was like, man, what the fuck is wrong with you? I'm sick of your shit. You get on my damn nerves with your trifling ass. Do you take that as me saying, I'm really tired of you not coming home and showing affection? Or do you take that as me cussing you out?
You cussing me out.
Because what did I really say?
Fuck you.
So let's like get down to it. And that's no, this is
that's
good.
Really
this
what it's going to be? Fuck you.
Because let's dissect that. Because in my first communication, my real intention for communicating what I said to you was not even said. I didn't, in me saying fuck you, I'm getting sick of your shit. Sick of what? Because you ain't even said what you're sick of.
Right.
And then, now that you haven't said what you're sick of, now I'm still doing what you say you don't like. Now you're like, oh, well, since he ain't listening to me that time, I'm going to go cheat on him. I'm going to go do something else.
Most niggas are going to hold their nuts. They're going to match your energy. They're going
to
do that shit.
Anybody will. I think that's man or woman. I've always said negative.
But the key is to not do that.
It's not, but it's human nature.
Your default in a relationship should be, we've normalized negativity. We've normalized matching energy, being fuck niggas to one another. We normalize that shit. Your default to your partner should always be positive. Always. Always.
It should.
It should be. It must be. If it's not, you're fucking up. If you think it's ever okay to be an asshole to your spouse, you're fucking up. That's man, woman, whatever, because it will not end well.
So if it should.
It should.
Let's leave that on the table.
It should.
Then the initial communication that I should respond to with negativity shouldn't be negative either.
No.
Because if we don't say that, then
either
it's got to be offense.
Either you can. You got two options when you're with somebody. If they're negative to you first. Bad day. Whatever the fuck. And you respond with kindness. Babe, what's wrong? What's the problem? Are you okay? Tell me what's wrong. And they still being an asshole to you. You can keep dancing. All right, cool. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to give you some space. Mm-hmm. And get the fuck away from around you. Mm-hmm. Because before I treat you bad, before I treat you wrong, I'm going to leave. Not leave for good. Just give you some space. Lost whatever. Go for a ride. Because we're too normal to stay in the motherfucker face and treat them like shit. Mm-hmm. That can't work. It doesn't work. And now, in the history of never, has it ever worked? It's a motherfucker divorced right now. Because mm-hmm. It felt like, wife mad about something. Let me ask her what's wrong one time in a weird, fucked up way. And then now I'm about to make energy. Doesn't work.
Well, what I've learned is grace comes with grace. It should anyway. Like, you want grace for how you feel today. But how I feel tomorrow doesn't receive grace. And actually, my cousin sent me something today, actually. She said, when people are psychologically inclined and in tune and understand certain things, they don't treat people how they are being treated because they understand that once your story has been told, now I can understand why you act the way you act.
Right.
That even goes deeper than that, and that's what I explained to her. It goes to understanding that grace is supposed to equal grace, one. And two, you might have had the same situation just in a different way. So now you really got to give grace. Like, for instance, like a man and a woman realize that they're just not there yet. You know, they like each other, they care about each other, but they've both been through some tough situations in their past. Right?
Right.
I was keeping it up.
Keep it on the book.
And I ain't gonna go into specifics because okay. That's there. But you both gotta understand where you came from, right? So you got, for instance, I'll talk about me. I was in a domestic violence relationship. And I talk about it and I keep talking about it because I want to help people to heal. But in that relationship, there's certain things you can't say to me or it triggers something, right? And also, there's certain things I'm not going to allow to go on because I feel like, I should have noticed the red flags then. I didn't. So now I got to notice them now going forward. But also, that could hinder you too. Because you're taking the red flags and you're utilizing them for the next person. But the next person ain't did nothing to you.
I mean, we gotta, I mean, honestly, like domestic violence, right? That is an absolute negativity. That's a psychotic term. So, if I'm going to harm you, there's no provocation that I can justify for harming you physically. Smart mouth, pettiness, whatever.
None.
So, red flags that I attribute to the end of your life are okay to be wary of. Like, I don't give a fuck if bear traps are painted pink. It's still a fucking bear trap. So it's okay for me to be wary of them if the sign says bear traps, my nigga. You can't do that. So you can be mindful, pragmatic about the red flags. But if you flinch every time his hand comes towards you,
that's different, yeah.
That's the trauma, right? That's something that he got to be patient about. But if he yells at you and is coming towards you physically, that can be a red flag.
That is a red flag.
And that's okay to be like, yo, my nigga, my head, keep his face. You know what I'm saying? So that's not the same as a woman treating you bad. So you don't trust the gestures of the new girlfriend at all, right? So,
for me, approaching me is a flashback. Because that's how I was approached.
And it can be. It definitely can be.
That's a heavy, because I even just got chills just thinking about it. Because, like, you know, visually the other person can't see what you experience. And a lot of people will not understand fully ever what you experienced because they didn't go through it. They weren't there in your body when it happened. But, like, it can be traumatizing to see the flashback even.
Right. But that requires patience. That,
it does.
That requires...
But a lot of people don't understand it.
They don't.
They don't. They're like, oh, it's over with. It's been gone. No. Just because it's over with don't mean... it don't still affect the person. Like, I've never been in a corner trying to get away from somebody and they're like grabbing me and like dragging me and pushing me and then picking me up and doing that. I ain't never experienced that before. So to me, that's like real traumatizing. Because I'm not a fighter. I don't fight. I don't believe you have to fight in order to get your point across. Use your words. Damn. You got a mouth. You got a voice. Well, God blessed you with that. But you're going to use these instead. And so, anyway, to get to the point of it all, it's like, you do have to be patient. But I think a lot of people, because even after it happened, I think some people that I knew just didn't, they couldn't get it. They were like, okay, it happened. Now what you gonna do? Now you gotta get past it. And it's like, it don't just go away because it's gone. It's still there. It still mentally wears on you. And the only way a man can really make a woman get past that is to love her. But a lot of people equate anger with love.
Or passion or whatever.
They call that passion, right? But I never understood why a man and a woman couldn't just love one another. Like, you say you love the person, but your actions don't match. And I call that labeling things that ain't there. Do you really love them? Because your actions don't match. Passion, I think, is a self-inclined action. Because your passion is yours. It's not the other person's passion. Like, what you passionate about ain't what I'm passionate about. So I got to suffer because you passionate? I think it's more of understanding.
So if a nigga passionate about you talking shit, you having a smart mouth, he can't take it, and he smack you.
All right.
That's still bad.
Yeah.
Even though he might have said, oh, man, I didn't mean to do that shit. I just lashed out. hit you. You know what I'm saying? One could argue that from a psychology point, that he needs to be, and needs to be unpacked. He might have suffered abuse for himself, mm-hmm. seen it in his home. Mm-hmm. That's very apparent in black households, mm-hmm. is abuse. But it's not called abuse. It's just called something else.
Life.
Or nothing at all, you know?
Yeah.
And it's both ways. You see your mama throwing a pot at your daddy. That's abuse, my nigga.
Abuse.
You see her, you know what I'm saying, hit him in the back and shit. She ain't hurting him, I guess you could say. But that's abuse. She's striking him out of anger, right? Now, some people might argue, I've heard argue that if one or two hits exchange and it's done, it's different than to him beating on you.
No, y'all both abusing each other.
So it's like, but things exist in a broader spectrum in people's minds than we think. Like love, right? Love could be, I love you this much, or I love you that much, right? Some people, you break up with one person, say they love you, they got a new nigga tomorrow. Next person say you break up with them, love you, they kill themselves. Yeah. You know, I mean,
or they stalk you.
Who's to say, right? Who's to say? Because things affect different people different ways, and I think we are surprised by how something traumatic, and trauma means that you're suffering something that's outside of your control,
right?
You know, a car hits you, someone falls on you, whatever. Mm-hmm. You suffer that. Yes, you have no control over that shit. Mm-hmm. It hits you, mm-hmm. and the body recovers and the mind recovers outside of itself.
Yeah,
you have no control how long it takes, how hard and bad it feels. You don't.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know what? That's key, because in the domestic violence situation, I hate bringing it up, but I have to help me heal.
You shouldn't
have
bringing it up. I mean, it's a widespread issue, you know?
It is, and I feel like it has to be talked about to help not only me heal, to help other people heal. Like, for instance, I think that's why certain people felt like, okay, it happened, get over it, is because the physical harm was gone by the time I got to them to tell the story, right? But the mental is still there, and you think the physical is gone, but what people also don't know is I have muscle spasms that I get in my neck on a regular basis from how my neck was grabbed. I literally will be sitting anywhere and will have to like stretch my neck because the muscle spasms come up on both sides of my neck. It is what it is, but that's what happened to me. You know, my sides, I have to stretch them certain ways because not only was I grabbed, but I was also thrown down in a way that both sides of my body were bruised and hurting. Nobody saw it because it didn't heal. Externally. Internally, there are muscles, tissues that get damaged from trauma. Whether you're in a car accident, domestic violence, a fight, whatever. And I don't expect anybody to be held accountable for what my resulting physical internal things are. But I expect understanding. And a lot of people do understand, but there's some people that don't understand. They feel like, why are you still talking about something that happened? I'm still talking about it because the mental controls the physical. Like, it's not that the physical controls the mental, right? Like, your mind can tell you, I'm good. And your body will align with it. Or your mind can tell you you're not good and your body will align with it. But that connection is not understood.
I mean, it has limits. I mean, if you break your hand, it's broke. Mm-hmm. No mental magic will make it not broke.
But your mind is interpreting that my hand is broke. For instance, have you ever like had a cut?
Plenty.
And you didn't notice it till 2 days later, so therefore it wasn't hurting. But then you look down, and you're like, oh, shit. Small cuts,
because it's small trauma. In real life, it's small trauma, right? Maybe.
Well, no, not equating it to trauma, because trauma, I think of it being
but more a big laceration that you notice. That's why I said, like, your hand, because your hand breaking is a big trauma. Mm. Your fucking hand is broke. Mm. You can see it's broke. You can feel it's broke. You can't wish that away.
But could it be that my hand is fractured? So, like, I think my hand is fractured. I've been like that before. Like, I think my hand is fractured. I go to the doctor to figure out what's going on. They say it's broken. Now my mental capacity says, oh, shit, my hand is not fractured. It's broken. Now the pain is, like, intense in my mind. So it feels more intense in my body.
I guess that would depend on how it's broken, right? I mean, if you get a fracture in your metacarpals, right? Oh, shit. I probably had it before on fucking accident. Mm-hmm. But your hand is broken. Like, your fingers are fucking gnarled up. Your hand is broke. It's broke. Mm-hmm. Like, you can see. I don't need a doctor. Broke. Mm-hmm. You're going to know it's broken. Yeah, a lot of times we break our fingers or we break our toe. We keep going. Sure. But a lot of times we have to accept. I think accepting reality helps us heal in the after. Mm-hmm. Because if we can't change what we can't accept, you know. And a lot of times we have to reconcile that, right? Guys do all the time. Most times, you know, athletes, our knees good. Bro, you been running football 20 years. Your knees are fucked up. It's time to acknowledge that shit and stop trying to sprint and run like you do 20 years old, because your knees in real life are not as once young as they once were.
But I think the reason why they continue to run, even though they should, they continue to run because they're telling themselves that my knees are good. Right. So they don't feel the pain that really should be felt because the knees are
but in real life.
Right.
In real life, they're right. Not good.
But that's why I'm saying, like, your mental controls your physical. Because, like, for me, okay, for instance, I had to get brain surgery. For me, I didn't know, like, I had a lesion on my brain, and that's why my head was hurting. How the hell are you going to that until you get under an x-ray and a CAT scan?
I mean, obviously, yeah.
I mean, I'm just being real. So, in my mind, it ain't that bad, right? But when I found out that I had a lesion on my brain, I was like, oh, shit. Then the pain started seeming more prevalent to me because now my conscience says, I got a lesion on my brain. Like, the pain now feels more intense because I'm more cognizant of the pain and what it is. And, like, a man that says his knees are hurting, like, are not good, he don't know that they actually broke or they're fractured or something, whatever it is. But, like, once he comes to mentally and deals with it, he's like, oh, I really got to do something about this.
How long can you operate that way? We can hope without mental. Your hands not broke, your knees aren't bad, but they actually are. And there's an actual consequence that's gonna come along with that.
It will later on, but in the moment, he gonna keep going.
So how long can you operate that way? So when we suffered mental pain, mm-hmm. mental trauma, right? And we mentally try to adjudicate the mental trauma, it stifles us. Cause we say, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm straight, but not really.
Yeah, it's a short-term thing.
Not really. Mm-hmm. You gotta let it happen so it can happen. Mm-hmm. And accept certain things so it can actually heal. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, it's the exact same way as guys. Now they are paralyzed, can't walk, whatever. Guys are dead because they feel like, I'm fine. I know I smoke and drink every day. I got a pain in my chest here and there, but I'm fine. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Mentally, I'm straight. No, my nigga, you have a fucking heart condition.
Sometimes you can think you're mentally straight, but you're not.
So a lot of times we don't take care to align and be realistic about the trauma that we face. Models matter. I won't say it's horseshit. I never ever deal in absolutes, but there's a level of pragmatism that you got to follow, right? Mm. You got a slight tummy ache. You know, I can make it. I'll make it. It's people that, you know, you're under duress and you mentally do. But then again, if you're mentally under duress, a physical change happens with adrenaline. That's a physical change. Mm-hmm. But when you're static at home afterwards, you're gonna feel that shit. So mentally accepting trauma that happened to us and allowing it to have its day. Or whatever the fuck, you know, allows you to eventually heal. But people who can't put themselves in that place are not going to be able to empathize with you, unless they have a high EQ.
So do you think that mental distress does not cause physical illness?
Of course it does. That's a fucking scientific fact. It causes ulcers, heart attacks. Right. It can even cause blindness. I mean, it can cause other mental issues. It can cause stress that affects musculature and circulatory issues, the brain, so many things that happen from mental stress. I mean,
right.
That's true.
Right, and then also, I believe in speaking things into existence. So, if there's something going on with me in my body, and mentally I keep speaking to it, physically it will appear. Like, for instance, I had this pain at the top of my head, and I kept trying mentally to equate that to what was going on the left side of my brain. And something my pastor told me was like, sometimes you can mentally speak something up. Because really, it could be that you're just stressed or you're really tired. But because you keep speaking to that thing, it keeps coming. And it's so true. Because when I have that pain, it normally happens when I be like, I'm not feeling that pain today. I'm not feeling that pain today. That's interesting. And then I start feeling the pain. So it's also, you got to control your thoughts. I think it starts with thoughts, then the tongue, then the body. There's a reason why our head is on top and our mind is below. I mean, our brain is in it and our body's below it. It goes down like gravity, I think. But it also can come up, right? Like you said, like if you ain't really physically well, and you trying to tell yourself you are, and you're not doing anything about it, that can go both ways. Because you may not be physically well, and you can speak yourself up and be like, I will be healed. I am fine. I am good. And those nerves and those chemical things that are in your brain that's speaking to the body can heal. I believe in that too. Because like there was a time when I was speaking negatively to that pain in the middle of my hand, saying, oh Lord, the pain is coming back because I need surgery, because I got another lesion on my brain, right? And then I stopped speaking to that voice, and I started speaking to, no, I'm not speaking to it. I don't know what it is, but I ain't calling it nothing. Wow. I'm good. And every time I would do that, the pain goes away. So I think pain and mental capacity, they play off of each other. But you do have to address, I do agree, you do have to address when something isn't right physically.
Definitely. You if do. Somebody cuts you in half, mm-hmm. you can't walk. You might hope that you can mentally, but you can't. Mm. You know?
But you can tell yourself, I will walk again, and you will walk again.
If someone cuts you in half,
you can walk again.
Oh my God.
I believe in God, though.
I mean,
God is a miracle worker. But we forget. You might need surgery.
Come on.
You might need surgery. You might need physical therapy.
Yeah, come on.
You might.
That's an extreme case, but I think the fact that acceptance can bring relief a lot of times is underlooked. Because we hope that this isn't happening, right? I'm not this, I'm not that. I don't have high blood pressure. I'm hoping that I'm going to speak it. Go to the doctor, and my nigga, you got that shit.
Mm.
Now it's on to you to fix it. So in certain circumstances, yes. In certain circumstances, no. Definitely not.
I think it's subjective. Mm. I really do think it's subjective.
If I want to lose 30 pounds
mm-hmm.
mentally.
You going to lose 30 pounds?
I'm going to lose 30 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta do shit to lose it.
But you saying I'm gonna lose 30 pounds is making you go and lose them 30 pounds.
But it's not gonna go away because I think I gotta do shit.
So let's flip it.
To do it.
What if you told yourself every day, I ain't gonna never lose these 30 pounds? What you gonna do about losing 30 pounds? You done told yourself, I'm not capable, so therefore I'm not even gonna try.
So, but I'm saying, but the key lies in execution.
It does.
If I said I'm losing 30 pounds and didn't lift one weight, I didn't walk nowhere, I didn't eat different. I just said in my mind, I'm gonna lose 30 pounds. And I read fucking memes on Instagram. Nothing fucking changed.
But it may not change your physical action. I think it starts there. It may not change your physical action, but eventually you've spoken it up so much that you become physically active to lose the 30 pounds.
But you know, I mean, you gotta have to execute. You're gonna have to.
You have to execute. Oh yeah. You can't just be like, I'm gonna magically
lose 30 pounds. And if you physically are unable to execute, you might have to find another way.
Right.
Or and accept the fact that this has happened. So if someone hurts you physically, you know, it's no shame in saying that it happened. And mentally, you can say that I will be okay again physically. Mm-hmm. I will be okay again mentally. But let it be true.
You are already okay because you walk. I feel like for me, if you're talking about the domestic violence situation, I feel like I'm already okay because I walked away. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I still got a job. I got a place to stay. I'm still chasing these dreams, making moves. I got my friends I had prior to the situation, my family. I'm still standing, right? But I ain't gonna sit here and act like it don't still affect me, because it does. You know, I think that's the part. It kind of speaks to what you were saying. You can't act like it don't still affect you, but you still got to keep going. Like, I can't sit in that. I got to keep going.
Right, because you're hiding the issue, and it will come back.
I think it's more so of realizing that the issue has happened, and what are you gonna do now? Right. You gonna sit in it? Or you're going to do something with it. So for me, my healing is to get out here and speak about it and give ways that I have coped with it. But also being, some people don't think it's okay to like sit in something. We be trying to like mask it. Like, if I tell myself I'm okay, then I'm okay. And it's like, and like you said, you can't do that. Like, if I ain't okay, I'm not okay. This is the thing about relationships too. You gotta meet a person where they at. You know what I'm saying? You were not there before you met them. So now you expect every emotion, every feeling, every experience that they've had to just go away because you arrived on the scene. Who you? You ain't God. You didn't erase it, the feeling, right? So it's like a man and a woman have to accept the person where they're at, but also the person that's in that healing process has to accept or allow, I should say, allow the person to accept them from where they're at. So it's a two-way street. I gotta allow it. The other person has to accept it. We come together and we make it work in that way. That don't mean that I get to, if I got a man, that don't mean I get to like punish him for every little thing that happened to me in my past, but he has to also understand why some things will trigger and affect me. But I cannot punish him for that.
Yeah, because it isn't your fault, right? If you're scared of alarms because your house was robbed 34 times as a kid, it isn't your fault.
It's not. And that's why I am the way I am today. What?
The mosquito bit my ass.
Oh. You been outside?
No, just walking up here. Now, well, I was outside earlier. Dang.
And all that rain. They love rain. Yeah,
standing water. Shit.
Yeah, they love it. They will sit in that. But, I try not to talk about it too much with people because I know it can come off as bitter. It can come off as like,
It can come off as bitter as, If you was acting like every nigga now is gonna beat on you because
no,
you're an asshole.
I would be absent-minded to think that, because my brother is a man. I have god brothers. They don't believe in hitting women. I have an uncle who's my godfather. I'm very close to. You know, me and my dad never hit put his hands on my mom, so I know.
Well, I mean, family don't really count like, cause you
but
got,
they're men.
You got massages, but you got daughters. Like, how you would?
But they're men. Right. Period. So they could beat on their significant others or wives.
They could. I mean, but when you talk about a lot of times, like moving on from domestic violence, you look at, you know, relationship partners, and you look at how they're going to treat you.
Well, there's more that goes into how a man would treat you than
as far as like physically, like you, You're not worried about your buttons hitting you.
No, I wasn't saying it like that. I'm saying they are examples of men. They are examples of that every man is not like that because they're not like that.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Not that they would hit on me. No, hell no. I whip my guy brother's ass. And no, none of my family would do that. But I'm saying that they are examples of men who I know won't do that. So I know that there are men out there who won't do that. And therefore, first of all, this was my first instance of going through it. So I know prior men that I've dated or prior men that I've been in relationships with, they never put their hands on me. So I know that's not my fear. But I will say there are, and I'm not just speaking on my experience. I have people that I work with that go through domestic violence. There's a woman in my office right now who goes through domestic violence. Like, yeah, this is not like some foreign topic. These men out here are really crazy. Like, putting trackers in women's phones and putting trackers in their cars because a woman said no. Because a woman said, I don't want to be with you no more.
Shit. Nice.
And then show up to their job and hit and beat their tail. You know, and some people think that's a serious topic. Some people don't. Some people don't think it'll ever happen to them. I was that same person. I didn't think it would ever happen to me. Like, it never happened before. But it happened. Then the man becomes senile after the fact. Like, and then he acts like he can own you after the fact. So, that's just what it is. It's not something that's rare. It's actually very common.
No, it's very common.
Very common.
Very common.
And so, when you ever deal with a woman and you wonder why she's so, like, standoffish or guarded, you don't know what that woman have been through.
No.
And men, too. Men been domestically abused. You know? Women abuse just like men. So.
Sometimes worse. Spiritually.
Yeah, abuse don't stop at physical.
Yeah.
That's why I said, why can't we just love one another?
It's a lofty...
And then this too. When a woman trying to love and when a man trying to love a person, damn, let the person love you. Because whoever effed up and didn't love you, you ain't going to let them love you?
What if they can't accept love at the time? I mean.
But then guess what? You sitting in that, the person like, well, the hell with this. I'm just going to somebody's going to let me love them.
It's not that person's fault though.
It's not. It's not. But after so long, and I get this too. That is the
exact same as somebody saying, get over that. Get over whatever, like, whatever happened to you.
I would have to at least let a man love me. I would have to. Because if so, I'm letting that man that put his hands on me be the control of my opportunity to truly be loved by another man. I couldn't do that. A lot of
times we think we can do things that we are not mentally prepared to do. We are not.
That's true.
You got to have courage to say, okay, I thought I was past that shit. Turns out I'm not.
Yeah.
People with anxiety. People act like that. Act like this shit is bullshit. It's not. You scared of the crowd? It's not bullshit. It's not bullshit. You think the person wants to be scared of crowd? They're not. They would rather be a regular person.
Mm-hmm.
But they have anxiety. They have an uncontrollable fear of something. Crowds, water, a plane. Then that adds to the fact that they don't want it. And they're going to experience it without being in control of it.
So this is the next question. Do you want to get past it?
Sure. But that's what I was saying. People with anxiety don't want anxiety.
So what mechanisms... And I struggle with anxiety, so
they
I understand.
They don't want anxiety.
But what mechanisms are you putting in place to get past it? Because to say that I'm fearful of loud noises or I'm fearful of love or whatever. Great. You are, right? And it's still... Because I'm speaking it real because I deal with it myself so I can speak on it. But then... Then what? Then what? Because you're going to sit in that for another 10, 20 years if you ain't find how to deal with it.
There's therapy. There's different inoculation therapy.
So if you don't take those steps, then you don't want to get out of it.
But that shit still takes fucking time.
You can't. It takes time.
And it damn sure takes longer than 6 months to a year.
Yeah, it depends it's on
going
what it
to,
is.
It's going to.
I think it depends. Some people can move on. Like, for me, That happened 6-7 months ago. I'm not going to let that stop me from love 6-7 months down the road. I'm just not. But everybody's different. You can't take one person's mindset and their way of thinking. And but then you also got to realize that it might take you 3 years. Well, a person is trying to love you and come in and be better for you for 3 years, they're robbing themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they could be, but at the same time, it's, if they aren't ready, then they aren't ready. And that person that is not ready might be missing out on a great person. Mm-hmm. But that's going to have to be okay.
That's going to have to be okay. It is.
Because it's not, because it'd be different if the person was like, I'm going to be an asshole and whatever. But it's just like, it's like eating uncooked food and like getting sick. Mm-hmm. The fuck, my nigga? Like, you knew the food won't fucking cook? Let it cook.